Hello, you are tuned in to Mouth of the South podcast. Welcome to the ramblings of a progressively optimistic truth teller. I am that truth teller, your host Shayla. Welcome back to the show. It's been a little minute, but we are back with the jump off. You know, life has just really been lifing. It really has. 2020 has, you know, she came through to stuff the pavement to let us know that she's not playing with us, period. So life has been lifing for me, but all in all, things are good. I feel blessed. I feel thankful to be able to get back on this microphone and talk some shit with y'all today. First and foremost, justice for Breonna Taylor. We're still waiting on that. Time's a fucking ticking. But, you know, we're still waiting on that justice. I know, I think last week or a couple weeks ago, they had a cute little protest out on the lawn of that attorney general, Kirk Cameron, whatever he is, Kirk Cameron in black body. They had a little, you know, protest out to the front of his house, and they arrested over 80 protesters and, you know, are going to charge some of them with felonies, you know, a felony count of, I think, intimidating an officer of the law or something like that, or some type of intimidation tactic, because they were exercising their right to publicly protest. But we still, you know, y'all can come up with 80 plus charges for those people, but we're still waiting for the 3 charges for the officers that shot and murdered Breonna Taylor. We're still waiting on that with bated breath. So justice for Breonna Taylor. No one's going to forget about that, Kentucky. You know, I don't care how long y'all wait. No one is going to forget that we haven't got any justice for Breonna Taylor. No one's going to forget about the fact that y'all let those police officers murder her in her bed while she was sleeping. And we still ain't got no justice for that. So justice for Breonna Taylor. Also, before we get started, rest in power to Representative John Lewis, who passed last week. Rest in power to another civil rights icon, C.T. Vivian, who passed last week. They just recently had Representative Lewis's memorial service down in Troy, Alabama, and they did a march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge again with his body, you know, just to commemorate all the work that he's done within the civil rights movement, all the work he did then and all the work he was continuing to do even up until his death. So rest in power to that man, from a civil rights icon to an ancestor. I know he will be with us truth tellers as we continue this fight for equality and justice here in America. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into some political shit. Y'all, I hope y'all being careful out in these streets, because the Rona is not gonna. The Rona ain't gonna. It's still very much alive. It's prospering. Probably better now than it did earlier in the year. Let's be honest. This second wave is hitting us like a tsunami. And we weren't ready for the first wave and definitely ain't ready for the second one. So make sure y'all staying masked up out here. Make sure y'all are social distancing. Make sure you are only going out and about when necessary. I understand that America has, you know, opened back up, even though we're in the midst of one of the even though we're in the country with one of the worst cases, or one of the most cases of coronavirus, you know, even though our country happens to, you know, have all the corona cases, America is still very much open. America is still, capitalism is still very much moving. So be careful out there in them streets. If you got to go out there, make sure you got on your mask, make sure you got your sanitizer or alcohol swabs, a little bottle of alcohol, something at the ready so you can clean your hands after you touch and feel upon things. Because, child, coronavirus is very much real. I know many people who have caught the coronavirus, who are in the hospital with coronavirus. Unfortunately, I haven't, you know, encountered anyone who's died from it, but it's very real. I've read many stories. I've heard many stories and anecdotes from people who have family members who have been pretty harshly touched by coronavirus. So make sure you're being careful out here. They're still trying to figure out what they're going to do about schools. I know here in Huntsville, they gave families the option of either letting your kid go back to school or doing a distance learning. I just don't know. I pray for parents every day. I am speaking from a place of privilege because I don't have any kids. I am just a dog mom. I just have a little dog, and I don't have to worry about him going and being up in a kindergarten classroom with other coughing, sneezing dogs. But yeah, I just pray for parents. They can kind of decide what's best for them, what works best for their schedule and their children. It's just, I just couldn't imagine being in those shoes, because I wouldn't want to send my child to school knowing how much children carry germs on the regular. But then I also understand parents being tired of sitting in the house with their kids. So it's definitely a rock and a hard place. And our federal government is, you know, they're working, trying to figure out a plan for another coronavirus relief package, because, of course, they decided to wait until the last possible minute to even, you know, decide what type of plan they were going to work out. So, you know, people are going to be fucked as they continue to, you know, do their negotiations and, you know, ride their political sides to figure out what exactly they want to do as far as a coronavirus relief package. So yeah, the American people are going to be the ones suffering at the hands of these fools. In this article from the Washington Post, it reads that top Democrats and the White House plan to meet Monday evening as they rush to begin negotiations over an economic relief bill aimed at addressing fallout from the coronavirus pandemic. Bumping up against a tight deadline before expanded jobless aid expires later this week. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer, they plan to meet today at 6 p.m. with Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, to begin formal talks. Negotiations were delayed because Democrats were waiting for the White House and Senate Republicans to unify behind a single plan, something that was expected to be released on Monday afternoon. Today is Monday, July 27th. This is the day that they are supposed to be meeting over this coronavirus relief package. The Republicans' plan was released earlier today, and it is as follows. The White House and Senate Republican plan is expected to call for around $1 trillion in new spending, while the House Democrats have coalesced around a $3 trillion plan they passed in May. Pelosi earlier on Monday criticized Republicans for waiting so long to begin negotiations, saying, quote, children are hungry, families cannot pay the rent, unemployment is expiring, and the Republicans want to pause again and go piecemeal, end quote. In the new GOP plan, Senate Republicans will propose cutting weekly emergency unemployment benefits from $600 to $200 until states can bring a more complicated program online, according to two people familiar with the plan who spoke on the condition of anonymity about details that had not yet been released. So we waiting on y'all. We waiting on y'all to get y'all shit together, pretty much like we always have. I get annoyed with House Democrats because they like to, you know, wear this air of, well, we're trying to help you guys and we're not getting any help from the Republicans. But best believe they're not going to fight for this bill. Like, they're going to let the Republicans gut this bill to pieces. They're probably going to give the American people a payroll tax cut, which most people don't even need to be going to work. Let's be real. That's where a lot of this corona is getting caught. People going to work in warehouses, people going to work in factories, people going to work these fast food jobs, being all up under other people that you work with where you cannot social distance because you only have so much space to work with. That's where a lot of these coronavirus cases are coming from. So instead of, you know, making it to where these people don't have to go to work, you know, as often, maybe where you could have half of the factory come in one day, the other half come in the other day, so you can properly social distance so everybody can have enough space to do the work they need to do, and not, you know, catch a fucking virus. Instead of, you know, working something like that out, they want to just give you a payroll tax cut. But what is that going to do for me not catching coronavirus? Like, yeah, my payroll taxes are, you know, smaller on my check, but I can't get a check because I've been missing work because I'm out with the damn coronavirus. So we're just waiting. We're playing the waiting game that the federal government loves to play at this point. I'm not giving the House Democrats any country for this. You get no gold doubloons from me on this plan. Of course, y'all passed y'all's in May, but you still get no gold doubloons from me until I see exactly what that stimulus package is going to look like. And I just find it funny that, you know, the Republicans can cancel their national convention and, you know, cancel all of these meetings and things that they want to have, but want you to send your children to school and want you to go back to work. They're tired of, you know, that, because that's the biggest thing. All the articles I've read about this coronavirus relief package, that is the biggest thing that has been grinding the Republicans' gears, is that the federal government has the audacity to pay the American people to just sit at home. Like, what kind of, how can I pay somebody $600 a week to just sit at home? These poor people don't deserve this much money just to sit at home. But a lot of these poor people have been the cogs in the capitalist wheel for decades. A lot of these poor people have never had a chance to be off work. A lot of these poor people have worked their fingers, their knees, their toes to the bone for decades to make sure capitalism runs the way that it should. So what's the issue with giving them a couple months off and letting them rest, giving them some money so they can fucking survive? Because let's be real, $600 a week, $2,400 a month. If you're in Alabama, you can live. But if you're in New York, if you're in California, if you're in a lot of these bigger states with a higher cost of living, you're still struggling. So let's be real, the $600 a week is not something that you just, you know, making people rich off of. Child, we'll see how it goes. Like I said, I'm not giving the Democrats anything until I see what this coronavirus stimulus relief looks like. And if it is a bunch of payroll tax cuts, I'm voting for Kanye West instead of Joe Biden, period. And since we're on the topic, we'll go ahead and transition into this year's Kanye West saga. I'm not going to be before you long on this topic. I really don't even like to discuss Kanye West. I still have a very, I don't know where I am with Kanye West. Like, I haven't canceled him. I still listen to his music. I don't listen to much of his newer stuff. I went and tried to listen to Life of Pablo the other day. It just doesn't hit the same for me as his older stuff. And I think it's just because his transition as an artist has just really mirrored his transition as a human being and as a person. And he's transitioned into madness, and his music has transitioned into madness. Somehow coded in the glory of God now. So that's, I'm not really interested in his music anymore. But Kanye will always hold a special place in my heart. I mean, College Dropout was one of the first CDs I ever bought with my own money. And I just always will hold a special place in my heart for Kanye West. But this current saga with Kanye has devolved from him announcing that he will be running for president in this 2020 race. And it went from him announcing it on Twitter and nobody really believing that he was really going to be able to get on the ballot, to him actually getting on a ballot, to him having a rally in South Carolina where he just rambled on and on for, you know, hours in front of a crowd. But and said a lot of, you know, problematic things, as Kanye usually does when he starts to ramble. And ended up not even getting on the ballot in South Carolina because he didn't turn his paperwork in on time, to where we are now with him tweeting up a storm and his wife, Kim Kardashian, having to go on the offensive and kind of just let y'all know, like, can y'all please quit blaming me for the fact that Kanye has bipolar disorder? Like, can y'all stop blaming me for that? So I think by now everybody's seen the tweets. Everybody has seen all the, you know, silly stuff Kanye had to say. I particularly really love the Chris Jong-un reference. I feel like the internet really took that one and ran with it. You know, the internet did what the internet does with that. And the memes were incredible. Very funny. I am not a Kardashians fan. I think I watched maybe 3 to 4 episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And that's because I wanted to get to the meat and potatoes of the storyline of why the little one that's the short one, that's the oldest one. What's her name? Courtney. Is that Courtney? Yeah, Courtney. The one with the cute kids. Well, they all kind of got cute kids now, but I digress. I've seen, like I said, maybe 3 or 4 episodes of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Because I wanted to get the storyline of why Courtney slapped Kim upside that wall and left her makeup down to the wall. I had to figure out why exactly that happened. So, you know, I went back and watched those episodes. So I can't say I'm very familiar with them outside of, you know, just their global persona that they have at this point. Like, everybody, it's osmosis at this point. Like, even if you don't watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, you know about the Kardashians. You know about Kanye West. You know about these people just through the osmosis of pop culture. So I'm not a fan. I can't say I've ever been a fan. But what I do feel like is that y'all need to leave that lady alone about Kanye. I mean, there are plenty of other ways in which the Kardashians are problematic. People wax poetically about this every day. You know, there's plenty of other ways that you can get on Kim Kardashian about, you know, if you just feel like you want to get in Kim Kardashian's ass today. But y'all need to leave that lady alone about Kanye. Like, there is not much that she can really do about Kanye's bipolar disorder. Like, outside of really him, like what he said in his tweets about them trying to 5150 him, which is like a psychiatric hold that they, you know, that you can, you know, put or get a loved one put under if they're having, you know, some type of episode to where they can harm themselves or others. You know, you can bring a doctor in, you can try to get them on a 72-hour hold and get them put in a mental health hospital. But other than that, and y'all know, y'all Kanye stans do not want to see Ye in down to the mental hospital. We already had to go through this some years back. So let's be real, y'all ain't trying to see Kanye down to the mental hospital. Like, I just hate to have to come on here and cape for the Kardashians, but in this scenario, it had to be done. It had to be done. Leave that lady alone, y'all. Y'all made that lady come out on her Instagram story with paragraphs, okay? Paragraphs. She had to really get her notes and type, because y'all wouldn't leave that lady alone about her husband being bipolar. Like, she can't help that. Y'all, we all know Kanye has been on a different life journey ever since his mother passed. Like, let's be real. And we're going to talk about this when we talk about Meg Thee Stallion, too. But losing a parent is a very traumatic experience. You cannot tell somebody how long it takes for them to get over that. I know it's been decades at this point. I think she passed back in 2007, maybe 2008. You can't tell somebody how long it takes for them to get over something like that. And traumatic events like that, if you have a family history of bipolarism or mental illness, schizophrenia, manic depressive episodes, anything like that, if you have a family history of stuff like that, traumatic episodes like that can be the triggering factor that triggers your brain into that mental illness. So, yeah, I just be jokes and giggles on the internet all the damn time, but everything is not a damn joke. But one thing I can say about the Kanye thing, y'all, it was more of a pray for Kanye, you know, Lord, watch over Kanye. Because, I mean, with tweets like that, you can't just, everything can't be a joke. Like, the way them tweets was looking, dang, it wasn't really too, beyond the Chris Jong-un, a lot of that stuff was making you scratch your head. Like, damn, Kanye, put the phone down, brother, put the phone down. He since apologized for his musings on Twitter. And I think things are kind of tapering down over there now. I haven't heard or seen too much in the news about it lately. Last I saw, I think Kanye was trying to get on the New Jersey ballot. So, you know, he's still that presidential race, that his presidential candidacy, that wasn't the fever dream. That's actual factual. So, he's still out here trying to get on ballots. We'll see if he actually turns his paperwork in on time this time. Cause like I said, Kanye, if you somehow make it on the Alabama ballot, like I said, I'm just waiting to see how this relief package look, and we'll go from there. We'll go from there. Okay, let's move into this last political topic I have. I feel like I need conspiracy theory, X-Files music right here. We'll see if I have the editing capacity at this point in my career. Because y'all know I'm a novice. Like, this is something new to me, not true to me. So I'd be feeling ancient trying to work my recording equipment and my laptop and everything that I have. I'd be feeling real elderly in here trying to get my shit together. But, you know, I'm getting there. Practice makes perfect. So I'm trying to throw a little bit of music in here. But let's get into this Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein tea, okay? Because this is some true tea. True rich white people tea. Tea that I'm not always privy to. So I watched the Jeffrey Epstein documentary on Netflix. Very interesting. It's called Filthy Rich. If you haven't seen it, I suggest, you know, checking into it. It's a quarantine. You're supposed to be at home as much as possible. Go and sit down. It's only like 4 episodes. Just sit down and sip that tea, because all that crazy shit that was going on in the 90s, it is coming to pass, okay? 2020 has really been the year of exposure. All that shit y'all did back when the internet didn't exist, that y'all thought was just going to be swept under the rug, karma is here, and she has come to collect. She wants her things. So in the documentary, they really get into Ghislaine Maxwell's backstory. Similar to Jeffrey Epstein, her riches, the way she obtained her riches are unknown. You know, she was like a socialite, I think her dad had a lot of money or something like that. But anyway, she is Jeffrey Epstein's right-hand woman, okay? When they were into the mess and into the fun back in the 90s, she was right there with him in all the pictures. She was on the other side. It'd be like him, a celebrity, and then Ghislaine. So they found Ghislaine, and, you know, the FBI got Ghislaine, and she is under arrest currently. So, you know, they found her down to the hideaway mansion. I'm not even going to get into the tea about her hideaway mansion, because sis was off in the hills somewhere just hiding in plain sight. Like, all that money, she didn't even go to Bora Bora. She didn't even go across the seas to a private island, because we all know Jeffrey Epstein had hella private islands. Like, she didn't go to the private island, nothing. She was hiding out somewhere like Vermont or something. And, you know, see, this is my biggest argument about why we should abolish billionaires, is because with immense wealth and with immense amounts of resources comes immense opportunity to do whatever you want to do, be it good or evil. You clearly have the money to pay whoever to do whatever you want them to do. And you have the power and the reach to take advantage of people, especially those who are already disenfranchised and disadvantaged. Like, in the documentary, they made a very stark comparison as to how one part of Palm Beach, Florida looked immaculate, upscale. You know, that's where the billionaires and the millionaires and stuff came, had their little summer homes. So that side of the beach was real cute, real fancy. But you cross that bridge to the other side of the beach, and it was the slums, it was the projects, it was the hood. People were very, very poor. A lot of those young girls were very, very poor, and that's how they were able to be coerced into doing the shit they was doing. Yeah. But I digress. Y'all, I'm getting into my progressive bag, and I'm trying to spill the tea on Ghislaine right now. So Ghislaine is in jail. She ain't dead yet. I'm checking the news every day because I'm trying to figure out how the powers that be that are trying to cover this up. My tin hat is tingling, okay? Because I'm trying to figure out how the powers that be are going to kill her. Because let's be real. We all know that Jeffrey Epstein, you know, killed himself. He hung himself in jail. Air quotes heavy around that whole scenario. So I'm just trying to figure out, is Ghislaine going to make it to trial or something else? Because so currently she is being held in jail, no bond, because she's clearly a flight risk. Like, girl, you could have flew your ass away when you had the chance, but you know, she's clearly a flight risk. So she is in jail, no bond. She's been charged with 6 counts, including conspiracy to entice minors to travel to engage in illegal sex acts. She's also been charged with 2 counts of perjury. And I want to read you guys an excerpt from this article because, you know, of course, once it hit the news and once it hit the blogs that Ghislaine was underneath the jail, everybody started looking at Trump like, ain't this your homegirl? Don't you know her? I've seen you in a bunch of pictures with her. Like, ain't that your homegirl? So I want to read y'all this excerpt from this article in Vanity Fair. Donald Trump's relationship with Epstein and Maxwell has shown up in various reports and photographs over the years. But rather than attempt to distance himself from Maxwell during a coronavirus briefing on Tuesday, Trump offered a limp embrace. I don't know, he shrugged, after a reporter asked whether he thought Maxwell would reveal which powerful men were involved in Epstein's trafficking ring. I haven't really been following it too much. I just wish her well, frankly. I've met her numerous times over the years, especially since I lived in Palm Beach, and I guess they lived in Palm Beach, but I wish her well, he continued, whatever it is. And while the remarks were a rich soundbite for those who've been tracing out Maxwell and Epstein's associations, that's me, I've been doing it, in all their still emerging detail, they were also a reminder of their history with Trump that's already known. The Palm Beach milieu that Trump mentioned was the occasion for his early relationship with Epstein, as the New York Times pointed out. He told reporters at the White House last July that he knew Epstein like everybody in Palm Beach knew him. The paper reported last year that Trump and Epstein hosted a party at Mar-a-Lago in 1992 with a guest list comprising the two of them and 28 girls. The Florida businessman George Horaney, I think that's Horaney, told the Times that he organized the event and told Trump, look, Donald, I know Jeff really well. I can't have him going after younger girls. Horaney said Trump dismissed the warning. So, child, what I tell y'all about 2020? The year of exposure, okay? You're going to be exposed. You should have never even hopped your ass on the presidential ballot because, child, you're going under the jail. Like, they're coming for you. If they end up releasing all that information they have from Epstein about the famous people he was hanging with that were participating with him in his debauchery. Let me sip a little water on that note. All of his accomplices, because Chrissy Teigen was also just in the news. They were talking about the internet was a buzz, saying that she was on Jeffrey Epstein's flight log, her and John Legend, child. And, you know, they was letting them have it. If they see you anywhere connected to Epstein in 2020, you got to get it. Like, they got to let you have it. And Chrissy Teigen went and deleted 60,000 tweets to try to keep the internet trolls and the internet conspiracy theorists off her behind, and was indignant about it. Like, of course I deleted it because y'all doing too much. Y'all trying to ruin my life. The bigger question is, how do you have 60,000 tweets to delete? Like, Chrissy, you got a lot of thoughts. You've had a lot of thoughts that you have just felt needed to be screamed into the void or typed into the void. And, I read some of those tweets and they were kind of trash anyway, so I don't know I don't know about these weirdos associated with Jeffrey Epstein, but I do know that on the more diabolical side of things, because like I told you, with immense wealth comes immense opportunity to just get shit done no matter what way you want to get it done. I don't know if y'all heard about the case with the federal judge whose family was murdered. She was a federal judge who was trying an Epstein case that had to do with his monies that he was rerouting through all of these international and foreign banks. You know, his riches that are still unaccounted for. She was on one of those trials, and child, somebody came and murdered her family. Like, let me read y'all this article for NPR. The suspect in the shooting death of the son of U.S. District Judge Esther Salas is dead, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of New Jersey confirmed Monday afternoon. The FBI had identified attorney Roy Den Hollander as the primary subject in the attack by a gunman on the home of a federal judge in New Jersey on Sunday. The gunman allegedly shot and killed Daniel Anderlo, Salas's 20-year-old son, and wounded her husband, criminal defense lawyer Mark Anderle, 63. Salas was reportedly unharmed in the attack. Den Hollander is now deceased, the U.S. Attorney's Office said in a statement. Officials did not provide any details about how or when the suspect died. However, New York State Police say he was found dead Monday in Rockland, New York. The investigation is still underway. Den Hollander was a self-described anti-feminist lawyer who filed suits alleging that women get special treatment in violation of the Constitution. He also pushed to outlaw ladies' nights at bars and college women's studies program. A cached version of his website, which is now inaccessible, proclaimed, "Now is the time for all good men to fight for their rights before they have no rights left." So, y'all, this is just so diabolical to me because I don't know if y'all have ever seen Mr. Robot. If you have, thank you for joining me in the Tin Hat Club. This is probably why my tin hat is tingling all the time, because I sit up and watch shit like that and enjoy it. If you haven't seen Mr. Robot, spoiler alert ahead. This reminds me of, I think it was season 3 of Mr. Robot, when the Dark Army came in and set up, basically suicided Trenton and Mobley and set them up for all of those bombings that had happened at those various E-Corp buildings. Chad, can remember that Mobley was like a kind of chubby, heavyset hacker, white dude with glasses, you know, long, shaggy hair. And then Trenton, I may be getting them mixed up, but one of the two. Trenton was a Middle Eastern woman, and you know, so they had their scapegoat. They had the Middle Eastern woman, they had the nerdy hacker man, and they basically set them up for these bombings that they had pulled, that the Dark Army had actually pulled. So this is what this reminds me of. It gives me that diabolical feel of like people just being like, okay, look, this man, look, we tried to go pull a hit on this judge, it didn't work out. You know, we hit the wrong people. Now we need to figure something out. We need to set up a scapegoat to take the fall for this. Y'all, like I told y'all, my tin hat is just tingling about this whole Jeffrey Epstein situation, this whole Ghislaine Maxwell. I also read an article, I think it was in the Daily Mail, talking about Jeffrey Epstein's financial advisor at Deutsche Bank killed himself, suicide, hung himself. Apparently he was fired or something because of all the stuff that happened with Jeffrey Epstein's accounts. Y'all, the rabbit hole is going deep on this. I will continue to dig, trust and believe. I will come to you with more and more updates on this story as they come forward. I be hunting the web, y'all, trying to figure this stuff out. I think that's enough for the conspiracy today. Let's talk about some black shit. So I had a whole article that I was going to read about this entire crazy Meg Thee Stallion situation, Meg Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez situation. But Meg has since come out and spoken on the incident. So let's just listen to what she had to say about it.
I'm smiling. Even though a lot of things have been, you know, things that have been making me not smile, but I'm back. So I see a lot of people painting fake ass narratives and making up stories and all this other whack ass shit. But I also see a lot of people that have been like being very supportive and sending prayers, and I just really appreciate that. I saw the hotties doing a lot of things, like writing letters on Tumblr and DMing me all the time. And I just want to say thank y'all so much, because y'all really been the ones that been helping me get through this. I was shot in both of my feet. I was shot in both of my feet, and I had to get surgery to get the shit taken out, get the bullets taken out. And it was super scary. And it's not funny. There's nothing to joke about. It was nothing for y'all to start going and making up fake stories about. I didn't put my hands on nobody. I didn't deserve to get shot and do shit. Like, and thank God that the bullets didn't touch bones. They didn't break tendons. Like, I know my mama, my daddy, my granny had to be looking out for me with that one, because where the bullets hit at, it just, it missed everything. But the motherfuckers was in there. And it's not that I was protecting anybody. I just wasn't ready to speak. That's not no shit you just immediately get on the internet and start talking about. And that's a lot of y'all motherfucking problem. Y'all take y'all whole life to Instagram and Twitter and make it a fucking diary. And that's not me. So fuck y'all and them fake ass blogs and y'all fake ass sources and my fake ass friends. But on a positive note, just taking some time to myself has definitely made me realize how to move forward. And, you know, how to protect my energy. I'm so nice. Imagine being 25 and you don't have both of your parents. My mama was my best friend. She, you know, I'm still really not over that. So you like, you kind of try to fill like your space with a bunch of people that you think is making you happy. I was moving too fast. I wasn't taking enough time for myself. I thought I was ready to be around a bunch of motherfuckers. I thought I was ready to be, you know, I thought I was ready to give good energy to other people, and other people wasn't ready to give good energy to me. But I definitely had to sit my ass down and pray on it. And I do feel a lot better. And thank God for the people I have around me that are actually here for me and are actually my friends. Don't want shit from me. Would never turn on me for no amount of money, no amount of clout. That wouldn't make up stories about me to save face. That wouldn't go against the grain. Just thank God for them. But I've definitely learned that I don't have to be so nice to every motherfucking body. This ain't gonna stop me from being nice, and ain't gonna stop me from being making a motherfucking stallion, driving the boat, doing what the fuck I wanna do, having this good ass energy. Ain't nobody gonna stop my energy from being good. But what I can't do is keep putting my energy in you, a bunch of you motherfuckers.
Well, and that's on period. I mean, shout out to Meg. Get well soon, Meg. Continue to heal physically, emotionally, spiritually. One good thing I think that came out of the situation is it really showed that Meg's here to stay. Like, she came through rapping y'all asses off, giving you true Houston vibes, true Houston realness. And through all the trials and tribulations, I mean, she talked about losing her parents. Like, when she said that her mama, her daddy, and her grandma was up in heaven looking out for her, like, that just, I mean, that hit different. Like, I'm a very spiritual person. I do feel like energy cannot be created nor destroyed. And I do feel like our spirits are our energy, our spiritual energy. And so I feel like when people die, they don't, you know, just cease to exist. They transition into just a spiritual realm, a spiritual being. And, you know, that's real when she said that, you know, her parents are up there looking out for her, because that could have went left. Like, it was all jokes and laughs and giggles on the internet, but one bullet ricocheted the wrong way and we could have been mourning Megan Thee Stallion. And I don't even like to send my mind down that road, because I'm such a hot girl at heart. Like, I just don't even want to think about that. So let's just move beyond that thought. But, you know, I'm just proud of Meg. Like, that statement that she made was excellent. Like, it was heartfelt. It was true. Like, I don't feel like she was up there lying. I don't feel like she was up there capping. I don't feel like she was protecting anybody. I just feel like that's traumatic. She was shot. I don't give a fuck if it was her baby toe. She was still shot with a gun. And from what the news has given us, because we don't have a lot of the details, all we have is the news and, you know, her fake friends comments on social media. We'll get into that, but and the way the details sound, I mean, it was somebody that she was trusting herself with, somebody that she was blessing with her energy, you know, hanging out with, vibing with, kicking it with, and somehow, some way, it went left and she ended up getting shot. Like, that shit ain't funny. Like, but, you know, of course, the internet, jokes is jokes. Everything is motherfucking jokes, unless it's Kanye West, then it's pray for Kanye. But everything else is motherfucking jokes. But yes, child, it's lessons that got to be learned. Those 20s, you know, now that I'm 30 and have been so for, you know, about 4 to 5 months, I could just look back on my 20s fondly and think about all the lessons I've learned. Think about all the shit I went through. Like, by the grace of God, I've never experienced anything as traumatic as, you know, being physically shot or losing my parents or anything to that level of trauma. But, you know, I've experienced some emotional changes, okay? I've experienced some emotional shots. When she said that, that part about fake-ass friends, child. Something about being a black woman in your 20s is like, that's when you really learn who's with you and who's against you. And it comes at you so quick sometimes. You just don't even know. Your head is spinning. One day you're friends with somebody, and the next day, you know, you all types of hoes and bitches and all other kind of shit, you know, when they ready to move on to somebody else. So it's an emotional lesson that I feel like it's a universal emotional lesson that we as black women have to go through. And, you know, you get the black women who go through it and come out on the other side and realize that it's not all people will do that, but you do have to have the discernment to be able to see, hey, this person doesn't mean well by me. This person does. Or the discernment to see, hey, I got a small group of homies that ride for me, that die for me, and I really ain't got to expand that too much. I don't have to be friends with every new person I meet. Like, I can be friendly, I can be nice, I'm gonna be nice, I'm gonna be kind, I'm gonna be polite, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna be calling you trying to hang out every weekend. Like, you can't open yourself up to everybody's energy, because everybody does not have good energy. So you could take it like Meg and learn a lesson from it and continue to grow and move forward. Or you can take it like Drea's Toucan Sam bird brain looking ass and you not grow from it and think that's just how you're supposed to receive love, is that somebody's supposed to shoot you in the foot and that's how you, you know, receive love, through violence and terror. Unfortunately, we've had too many of our black women fall to the wayside with this thinking and by this thinking. So I don't even understand. I'm still trying to figure out who gave Drea a podcast, because I'm thinking back to her on Basketball Wives. I'm thinking back to her, well, that's pretty much it. That's her claim to fame. I'm thinking back to that, and I just can't think of anything she said on that platform that was profound enough for me to be like, I want to sit there and listen to Drea talk for an hour. I want to listen to Drea talk. You know, I feel like that girl has something to say. She has a perspective, okay? Can't say I've ever had that thought. So when I heard that Drea had a podcast, I was already taken aback. And then to hear, no, then to see that it's her and two black men on her podcast, it's really, the way it looked, I can't say I listened to the podcast frequently because I haven't, but the way it looked was that the man was leading the podcast and she was kind of just like a guest, or, you know, just like the co-host. That's what it looked like to me. But to see her on that platform with those two black men, and then for her to say that, which, you know, say that joke, quote unquote, air quotes heavy, that she made, it just triggered my mind to think, you know, you really just cannot trust these women who like to go around and tout that they don't, you know, they only friends with niggas. I can't be friends with women because they too catty. I'm only friends with niggas. But then they'll look at you in your face as a woman and want you to be their friend. I don't understand that. That's something I've never understood. It's like, you told me you don't get along with women, but I'm a woman and we're supposed to get along. Can't trust nobody that say no stuff like that. And Drea looked like one of them type of individuals. So, child, Meg has spoken, and I like what she had to say. That's really all I got to say on it. That, and of course, arrest motherfucking Tory Lanez. If it does come out that Tory Lanez was the one that shot Meg, and all details right now are pointing to the fact that it might have been Tory, arrest that motherfucker. Deport that Frankenstein forehead having ass nigga back to Canada from whence he came, and put him underneath the Canadian jail. Period. I had some more black shit to talk about. I was going to talk about Nick Cannon, but child, we can just boil Nick Cannon down to people pleasers. When you are a people pleaser and you look to the internet for validation, you will continue to not find validation from the internet. Nick Cannon was fired for his anti-Semitic comments. Some people said they weren't anti-Semitic. Some people said they were. I'm not a Jewish person, so if a Jewish person tells me it was anti-Semitic, it was anti-Semitic. He got fired for those comments. He, you know, tried to pull the Kevin Hart and the double down and I'm not apologizing, I said what I said, NeNe Leakes type shit. And, you know, they told him to take his turban and his foolishness out of their building. I heard that they canceled when they fired him. Wild N' Out was on MTV and they straight just cut it off in the middle of the show and turned on Fresh Prince, The Shade. But yeah, he definitely pulled the Kevin Hart because he tried to get in the office and act like he wasn't going to apologize. But then after he got fired, he was all down to the Twitter making public apologies. And now the most recent news on Nick Cannon is that he had dropped on his Instagram a Black Lives Matter rap. So he's trying to get the black people back on his side. Nick Cannon, just stop it, honey. Like, just stop. You can't be a people pleaser type person your whole life. Like, just stop. Get off the internet for a little bit. Recollect. Think about what you got going on. And then come back to us with some new shit like next year. Okay, because Drumline Nick Cannon was honestly my favorite Nick Cannon. I wish you would have just embraced your corniness, embraced the fact that you're not no thug type dude. Like, that's just not who you are, and that's fine. I wish you would have embraced that and, you know, just continue to grow within that. But instead, you decided that you wanted to go the woke route. You were tired of not being taken seriously as a rapper, so you wanted to go the Hotep woke route. And it's not panning out. I just don't see it panning out the way that I think you want it to pan out. So just let that go. And then I wanted to send my good energy, good prayers, thoughts out to Tamar Braxton. she was rushed to the hospital a couple weeks ago after an alleged suicide attempt. So get well soon, Tamar. Rest up. Just like I told Meg, rest your energy, rest your get it together emotionally. I think she was going through some things with her contract with WeTV. They were trying to come out with her own spinoff, her own reality show spinoff, and it's just like a lot of murky details behind that. This reality TV stuff, like, it takes a toll, like, on you. I can never see myself doing reality TV. I like to partake. I like to watch. I like to dabble every now and again. But the stories that come out of these families after they have signed up for reality TV, it'd be on another level. So get well soon, Tamar. And let's move on to some sports shit. The NBA is back. Period. Okay. First and foremost, let me give a shout out to my fave, the King LeBron James. LeBron has the quarantine beard with the gray to the sides. I just felt like that deserved a shout out. It looks so good. I'm like, all right, Bron, I see you with the beard with the gray to the side. You like, let me distract from my hairline, because look at this beard, though. Look at this beard game. Okay. But the NBA is back, y'all. The bubble has been set. Official games are starting on Friday. They've been playing some scrimmage games. I've caught a couple glimpses of a couple of those. It's definitely a different vibe. There's no crowd. You know, there's, they have, like a Zoom meeting going on in the background. You know how you get on a Zoom meeting and there's just, when it's like 20 people and just a grid of boxes. That's what it looks like, a grid of boxes with people, you know, sending in videos of them cheering, you know, arms up. Woo, go team. but for what it is and for the times now, it's pretty good. So I'll definitely be tuning in. Last I heard, they've been doing their testing pretty much every day, and they're at to where like 100% of people are testing negative. So they've got their bubble set. It's sealed off. You can't come in. You can't go out. And that also goes for you, Lou Williams. Okay. Cause Lou Will, six man, just like Lou Will, decided to take it upon himself and go out to the strip club, and not only to any strip club. He done took his ass to Magic City in Atlanta, you know, trying to have a good time at the risk of the bubble. Like, child, the bubble is sealed off. You cannot just be leaving to go to the strip club. So, of course, he's on a, he has an NBA mandated 10-day quarantine after getting caught popping into an Atlanta area gentleman's club during an excused absence from the Clippers. On his Twitter, in the tweets, he said that he just, you know, popped in for some wings. He was in Atlanta for a funeral. Somebody near and dear to him passed away, and he was there for the funeral and, you know, just popped into Atlanta for some wings. And, you know, being a young woman that has frequented Magic City and has tried their wings, I mean, I concur. Those are some good ass wings. But at the risk of the bubble, Lou Will, at the risk of the bubble, you know, somebody was going to snap a pic. All of this in the news about how we trying to sell off the bubble so y'all can finish out the NBA season, and you had to just go down there and get them wings. You know what? I understand, but I serve your little 10 days proudly, and I hope them wings was worth it. Them wings, okay? Because them wings, and we're going to leave it at that. But yes, child, so the bubble is set. I'm excited. I'm hoping the Lakers can go all the way. You know, if Lou Will keeps getting 10-day suspensions for going down to the strip club, they may just beat the Clippers and get on through this. Okay. So let me know who y'all think gonna come out in the end. Who y'all think gonna win the quarantined NBA championship this year? Let me know. And I think that's it for my sports topics. Oh, no. I do want to read this story from the Jasmine brand real quick. Congratulations are in order for 2-year-old Alexis Olympia Ohanian Jr., daughter of tennis star Serena Williams and entrepreneur Alexis Olympia Ohanian Sr. She recently became the youngest team owner in pro sports as the co-owner of Angel City, a newly formed Los Angeles-based women's soccer team. A Twitter account for Olympia Ohanian posted the announcement on July 21st. It reads, "Proud owner Angel City," with just the cutest little picture of Olympia I've ever seen with these two little buns to the top of her head. Oh my God, she is just so precious. The website for Angel City, which is a working title, with the official name being announced at the end of the year, highlights the founding investors of the new organization, boasting several recognizable names. Among the investors are award-winning actresses America Ferrera, Uzo Aduba, Jennifer Garner, Eva Longoria, and Reddit founder Alexis Ohanian Senior. Serena Williams and her 2-year-old daughter now join the ranks of several celebrities who partly take ownership of professional sports teams. So yes, child, congratulations to Miss Olympia. Just a wonderful, just set your daughter up for greatness, okay? Make her the heiress that young black girls never get to be. I love it. I'm here for it. Congratulations to her. And on that note, let's go ahead and get into the Bless Your Heart segment. Dear weirdos who still refuse to wear masks in public, Darwinism is taking way too long. The U.S. curve has been unflattened with a surge of cases in over 30 states. There are cities with overrun hospitals, not enough ICU beds, states reclosing of the outsides. You know all the things the CDC tried to warn us would happen. But y'all still refuse to wear a mask in public places, choosing, I can only assume, to put vanity or personal opinions over facts and human decency. Put on a damn mask. Facial covering, bandana, old t-shirt, something. Something that will block your possible COVID-laden breath from hitting the innocent people in your presence. It's sad that a cloth mask has been warped from protective gear to a political statement. It's even sadder that the whites feel that a mask is an infringement on their rights as Americans because it hinders their ability to breathe. Air quotes heavy. Black people fighting strangulation via police brutality while white people beefing with cotton. Y'all, this is super wild. Let me be clear. Anyone I see without a mask on in public, I recognize you to be an idiot. You the type to yell all lives matter, but they don't matter enough for you to wear a scarf around your damn mouth. Do better. I ain't blessing y'all hearts, damn it. Bless us for having to deal with stupidity, the deadliest ailment to affect humankind. Well, that's the end of the show, folks. I thank y'all again for tuning in to Mouth of the South podcast. This is a little, this episode is a little longer than usual. I have been, had been taking a slight hiatus, and I was just so happy to be back. I just had to give y'all everything I had been thinking of in the weeks that I wasn't, you know, getting on the mic. So, thanks again for listening. Share this podcast with your homies, give it 5 stars, write a review. I will catch y'all on the next episode. And as we say down here in the South, what's done in the dark will always come to the light.